بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. I start with the name of Allah. I praise Him and thank Him. I ask Allah to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad and to protect his nation from whatever he feared for them. We have been talking about the Abbasid state or dynasty, the people who were descendants of Abdullah ibn Abbas, who started ruling the Muslims from the year 132 Hijri. And we mentioned that the first caliph among them was Abdullah Abu al-Abbas al-Saffah. And he ruled for about 4 years, from 132 to 136. Then came after him his brother from his father, his half-brother from his father, Abdullah Abu Ja'far al-Mansur. And he ruled from 137 to 158. Then after Abu Ja'far came his son Muhammad, came to be known as Al-Mahdi Abu Abdullah, and he ruled the Muslims from 158 to 169. After Al-Mahdi came his son Musa Al-Hadi, and he had a brother called Harun that succeeded him after his death. Al-Hadi died in the year 170 Hijri, and after him, his brother Harun, who came to be known as Al-Rashid, became the fifth caliph in this Abbasid dynasty. And this happened in the same night that Al-Hadi, this brother, full brother, died. So immediately, on the same night that Al-Hadi was died, his brother Harun was given allegiance to become the next caliph. And in this same night, Al-Hadi died, so a caliph died. Another caliph succeeded, was appointed. This is Al-Rashid. And Al-Rashid himself, Harun, had a baby, a child called Al-Ma'mun or Abdullah, who would become himself a caliph later. So in one night, a caliph died, a caliph showed up, and a caliph was born. Before Harun, the Muslims used to address the ruler with either Amir al-Mu'mineen or with their name. After Harun al-Rashid, Muslims started addressing or referring to the caliph with a certain title or nickname. Like, this is Harun al-Rashid. Harun is his name, and al-Rashid is his title or nickname. Harun al-Rashid was handsome, long, I mean tall, was heavy, and one of the most respected or awesome, if you want, rulers of earth. He had care for literature and Islamic knowledge, and he was known to pray 100 rak'ah of sunnah every day. One of the things that was distinguished about him that while he was a ruler, he went out, set out, taking his two sons, Al-Amin and Al-Ma'mun, with the purpose of seeking the knowledge of hadith. And this, having a ruler, taking a journey with the purpose of seeking Islamic knowledge, in this case, al-hadith, never happened in history to anyone. None of the rulers of the Muslims before Harun did such a matter. They may have acquired knowledge before they became rulers, but once they became rulers, they did not seek knowledge. Harun took his two sons with him on a journey to acquire the knowledge of hadith from the scholars beyond, outside Baghdad, the capital of the caliphate. And only one ruler after him, after Harun al-Rashid, did such a deed, means went out on a journey seeking knowledge, religious knowledge, and it was al-Sultan Salahuddin al-Ayyubi, Salahuddin Yusuf ibn Ayyub. He also, while he was a ruler, he went to Egypt, Alexandria, to acquire knowledge of hadith from one of the huffaz of hadith. It is narrated that Harun al-Rashid, Harun used to give out of charity every day from his own money 1,000 dirham. It is narrated also that he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the dream before he became caliph. And the Prophet told him in the dream, you will be in charge of this nation, of my nation. So go out, fight, and perform Hajj. And once Harun became the caliph, he made it a habit that one year he goes for jihad, and the next year he goes for Hajj. Then the next year goes for jihad, the following year he goes for Hajj. He alternates Hajj and jihad in his life. And he loved knowledge and the people of knowledge. He would hear the word of admonishment, means he would listen to scholars or people who would remind him of the consequences of his deeds on the day of judgment. He would listen to such admonishments and he would cry affected by those acts of admonishment. One time he had dinner in his own house with a scholar of hadith who happened to be blind. After the meal was over, Harun al-Rashid brought a container and he washed the hands of, he poured the water for the scholar to wash his hands after finishing the meal. Later, he asked the scholar, do you know who poured the water for you? He said, no. He said, it was me, out of showing respect for the people of knowledge. Of course, especially with the Westerners, they know the 1,001 night stories where the Harun is supposed to be following the harems and the women and all that. All of these were stories that have nothing to do with him. They're fabricated. He is not involved in drinking alcohol or women and singing and so on. The haram that are mentioned in such, you know, tales or fairy tales, that may work in Hollywood, but it's not history that can be relied on to say the events that took place during his time. And of course, we said that he loved religious knowledge. He was a relative of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he listened to admonishment, means if someone came and told him something that reminds him of the consequences of his deeds on the day of judgment, he gets affected and he would cry. One time, a wa'id, means one of those admonishers, one of those people whose sermons or whose speeches, preaching would affect the heart, soften the heart, came in. His name is Ibn Samak. And he was famous for such an art of admonishment. He sat there with Harun al-Rashid, the caliph. Harun al-Rashid asked for a drink of water. He was brought the water. He was about to drink it. Ibn Samak said, "Wait, commander of believers, don't drink." He said, "If you were deprived of such a drink, if somebody blocked you from drinking this water, how much would you pay for it?" He said, "I would buy it with half of my, you know, property." Then he said, "Okay, then drink it." So he said, "Enjoy it." He drank the water. After he finished, Al-Rashid finished drinking, then Ibn Samak, this admonisher, he asked him, "If this drink of water was blocked from going out of your body, how much would you pay to get it out?" He said, "By the other half." He said, "This property, this rulership, this kingship, this, you know, leadership that you have, this that is worth, you know, a drink and urination. It's not much of value. Why are you so stuck to it?" So as a result, he started crying immensely. His days of rulership were known as the golden days of the Muslim state, the Abbasid, and in general the Muslim state. During his time, the economy was flourishing, the industry was flourishing, people were inventing certain things that were not invented before, the level of living was acceptable, and other things. During his time, the first clock was made. And if you may have read in the history that he had ordered the make of a clock that he gave as a gift to one European king, they call him Charlemagne, the one who united France and Germany. He was very popular in Europe, but during his time, Europe was sinking in ignorance. Not many people knew how to read and write. They did not have knowledge of things. It was restricted to the clergy. Those were the only ones who could read and write. No Latin, no, you know, literature, no things. So it was exclusive to them. They monopolized it. So when this man came, he tried to go it beyond these clergy. Anyway, it is narrated that Harun al-Rashid gave him as a gift a clock. That clock was big, like maybe 12 feet high, and it was working on water. It was powered by water, so water would come down and then it would move certain things. And then, for example, if it's 2 o'clock, then someone comes out, you know, maybe, you know, riding on a horse or something. And then at 2 o'clock, it would be something else. So it was exact during that time. And it was, you know, something that his clergyman said, "Harun sent you this to get a spell on you, to bewitch you, to, you know, get magic on you." They would not believe that it was done by hand. And it was like something that is, you know, manufactured. They thought that it's coming from, you know, by magic. In the same year, which is the year 170 Hijri, that Harun became a caliph, another child also was born for him. And that child was called Muhammad al-Amin. Now the first one was Abdullah al-Ma'mun, and his mother was a Persian female slave. The father of Harun and his brother Musa was Al-Hadi. So Al-Hadi had a female slave. He set her free, then he married her. Then she gave to those two caliphs. So, but Al-Ma'mun, his mother was a Persian woman, and the mother of Al-Amin was an Arab woman, was the cousin of Harun. So you have two children for the same father, but one, his mother is non-Arab, and the other one was, his mother was an Arab. And this was used later to make them fight among each other. You know how shaitan works. So we'll talk about it, inshallah, when the time comes. Also during this year, Al-Rashid chose a person to be his aide, like vice caliph, if you want. They call him minister at the time. And he was a Persian man called Yahya ibn Khalid al-Barmaki. And this Barmaki, just like a family of Persians. So this family became very powerful from the days of Harun and on. So this man was appointed by Harun and given all the authorities. He could just appoint whomever he wanted, fire anyone he wants, and he had a seal from Harun, he could just use it and at will. But of course, Harun was a powerful ruler at the time, so although this person was entitled to do all of these, had a lot of authority, he couldn't go beyond what Harun did. Later, people in his power and his position became the real rulers. The one who appointed them is weaker than them. They would just say, do this and do that, although apparently the other one is ruling. So, just like a government in the shadow, that's what it is. So, in the next year, which is 171, Abdul Rahman al-Dakhil, the ruler of the Umayyad state in Spain, he died. He had, you remember this man from Umayyad who escaped from the Abbasid and then he established a state in Al-Andalus in Spain. So he ruled 33 years and then he died in the year 171. And this man was known to be a brave man, he was generous, and he does not procrastinate things, he would just run things on time, and he was very diligent in taking away those who rebel against him. He doesn't let people do his job, he would do it himself. And because he was so well governing his state, people used to say he is like Al-Mansur, the Abbasid caliph, the second one. And some people, you know, exaggerated in praising him. And despite that, of course his son came after him, Hisham, the son of Abdul Rahman, to rule the Muslims in that area. So despite they were Umayyads, and they were offshoot of the state that gone away and a new dynasty came, still, although they were independent, they would not call themselves caliph. They always said, we are under the caliph in Baghdad, to keep the unity, and of course it's a religious matter. So would not do that. And they kept on this until someone came and said, look, Al-Mansur killed our relatives, so stop talking about him as being the caliph. And from that point on, people started not showing respect to the office of caliph, and then that's when they got weaker and weaker. In 172, two brothers of brothers Abdullah and Sulaiman, they rebelled against their brother Hisham, who became the ruler after the death of their father. And he kept on fighting them until he stopped them. One of them surrendered, the other one just stopped fighting. So you could see this is on the verge of making that area weaker and weaker. In the year 175, Al-Rashid arranged for his son Al-Amin to become the caliph after him. So this is became habit. After the first five rightly guided caliphs, people started assigning as rulers, as successors, their relatives, either the brother or the child, the son. And as we said, that this man, Muhammadun al-Amin, was his son from his cousin Zubaydah. Now, in Al-Andalus, Hisham became the ruler. He fought against those who rebelled against him. And when he finished with those rebels, he started fighting the other enemies of the state, the non-Muslims, and then he started annexing, taking more land in that area towards Europe. In the year 76 and 100 or 176, a man, a descendant of Imam Al-Hasan ibn Ali radiyallahu anhuma, he rebelled against the Harun al-Rashid. His name was Yahya, the son of Abdullah, the son of Al-Hasan, the son of Al-Hasan, the son of Ali. So he rebelled in the area called Ad-Daylam, which is in Iran, and he became powerful in that area. So Al-Rashid, being the caliph, he mobilized, he assigned a man called Al-Fadl, the son of his wazir, his minister, Yahya, and he gave him 50,000 fighters to stop this rebellion. However, Al-Fadl did not feel the desire to fight this Yahya because he's a descendant of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was trying to find a way to avoid the fighting. So he talked to him, and so he arranged a meeting with this Yahya, and he convinced him that to stop this rebellion, and Al-Rashid agreed to not punish this Yahya. And when he came, he welcomed him well. But later, he put him like in, what do you call, compulsory stay. He would be just in a house, he cannot leave it. So I forgot the word now. So this man stayed as such until he died. So he couldn't go away, talk with people, etc., until he died. In the same year, which is year 176, means 6 years after Harun became the caliph, there was a big fitna that took place in Ash-Sham between two large tribes, Arab tribes, Mudar and Al-Yaman. So those Al-Mudariya and Al-Yamaniya, two big sections of Muslims, started fighting among themselves. And as a result, many people were killed. Then in the next year, 177, this Hisham, who was an Andalus, continued to get more lands from his enemies. And he won all of these battles that he fought. And later in that year and the years that followed, many tribulations erupted between the Muslims, either because the rulers were corrupted or the people, the Arabs, non-Arabs, was brought up. And also because the renegades, Al-Khawarij, who were finished off during the time of Ali and other rulers, they also became stronger at the time. So they were also fighting the Muslims, killing them. So that was something happening in that area of the state, of the Muslim state, where things were weakening the state from within. So Al-Rashid sent many of his commanders to fight those Khawarij. And the most dangerous among them at the time was a man called Al-Walid al-Daghlibi. He showed up in an area between the two rivers in Iraq, Euphrates and the Tigris. So in that area close to Baghdad and so on. So close to the rulership, the caliphs. So he was very dangerous and he destroyed different areas, you know, killing people, making corruption there, destroying Armenia. He went to Armenia, Azerbaijan, and so on. Then Al-Rashid sent to him a man called Yazid ibn Mazyad ibn Zaid al-Shaybani. And he was known to be the nephew of a man called Ma'an ibn Zaida. This Ma'an ibn Zaida was loyal to the Umayyads, the previous state. And he kept on being loyal to them until the last moment. And even when the Abbasids took over, he was still loyal to the Umayyads. And Al-Mansur, the second caliph, we'll talk about the fifth now. But at the time of the second caliph, Abu Ja'far al-Mansur, Al-Mansur wanted him killed, but he could not catch him. It happened at one point in time that this Ma'an was in Baghdad. And at the same time, there were a group of people called Rawandiya who worshipped Al-Mansur. They just considered him their god. He didn't want it, of course. And he wanted, you know, to get rid of them. So anyway, they wanted to reach to Al-Mansur in his palace. They could worship him. So of course the soldiers prevented them. There was a battle. Ma'an was there, and he heard of what's happening. So he went to help Al-Mansur, the one who ordered his killing. But he went and helped him. And Al-Mansur was grateful. They, of course, they finished off this group of people. Al-Mansur was grateful, and he said to him, "You are safe. I'm going to keep my word. You are safe. He was blaming him. Why were you loyal to our enemies, the Umayyads? But because he gave him his word, he did not touch him afterwards. So Al-Rashid sent the nephew of such a man to fight this Khariji Al-Walid, this renegade Al-Walid Al-Taghlibi. And it happened that they were from the same tribe. So this renegade Al-Walid was very strong. So this Yazid wanted to use trick to get to him. He didn't want to just like confront him and lose. So he was waiting for the right moment to, you know, to deceive him and finish him off. So time passed. So now some people started saying, "Look, this Yazid does not want to fight this renegade because they are from the same tribe." So they started what? Inciting Al-Rashid against him. So Al-Rashid was upset because the task hasn't been done yet, and then these people were inciting him. So he said to him, in a wrote to him, of course, "Either you finish the job or you'll be in trouble." So then this man, you know, tried harder now with confrontation. He told his soldiers, usually these renegades, they start their campaign with a good, you know, attack. So be patient at the beginning and they will be victorious over them. And it happened that the fighting erupted during Ramadan on very hot days. So people were very thirsty. Even they say this man was so thirsty that he would just like suck on his, you know, ring just to get something to stay alive. And he made dua. He said, "Oh Allah, you know, don't let us be exposed." And then they fought these renegades, and they, you know, won over them. The leader of these renegades was killed. After the leader of the renegades of Khawarij was killed, his sister, she rode on a horse and she wanted to attack the Muslims on her own. And of course, remember, she is from the same tribe as the Muslim leader. So he told his soldier, "Don't," because she said, she asked for a duel, like one-to-one fighting the Muslim men. So the leader, this Yazidi, said, don't go out for her. See, I'll go out. So he went out and then he hit her horse like with his spear, not to kill it, just like say, "Yeah, just," he said, "go away." He said, "You exposed, you know, you're scandalizing our tribe. Go away," means. And then she went away. In the year 177, and of course, in the years that follow, we said the ruler of Al-Andalus, Hisham, the son of Abdul Rahman, Al-Dakhil, kept on fighting the enemies, getting more land for the Muslims from Europe. He was a brave person. The subjects loved him. He was good to them. He loved the righteous Muslims. He loved jihad. And the Muslims were so powerful and so dignified in his days that to the extent that a Muslim died and wrote a will, he said that his legacy, means his inheritance, should be used to free Muslim prisoners. Means you pay a ransom for Muslims who are prisoners in the hand of the enemies to free them. So they went out to find any Muslim prisoner of war. They couldn't find one. This is how powerful the Muslims at the time were. And this man, Hisham, was so good that people exaggerated in praising him, and they said he is like Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. And of course, there is no, you know, scale there. But he was so good for the Muslims. He died in the year 180, around the age of 41 Hijri, which is 39 solar years. So he ruled from 172 to 180, 8 years of rulership. And when he died, he was 41 years old, lunar years. After he died, this Hisham, his son Al-Hakam became the ruler, and he followed the steps of his father. He fought the crusaders and so on, and he fought all the battles he won. And when he became the ruler, then some of his relatives rebelled against him. You could see this rulership and this power, people fight for it. So his two uncles rebelled against him, and as a result, Muslims were fighting among themselves. So the enemy took advantage of this internal conflict, and they took the city of Barcelona, or what they call it, Barcelona in Spain, from them. And the Muslims retreated from it. And this internal, you know, difference or conflict gave rise, made other people, you know, more encouraged to leave, to rebel against the state. And the ethnic issue, Arabs, Barbars, you know, Arabs, non-Arabs, came up, floated again, and this, you know, weakened the Muslims in that area. Also in that year, 177, in that year, 180, in the area of Iran, Khurasan, another renegade showed up called Hamza, and he also killed people, you know, took many Muslims, you know, captured them, etc. Then the Khalifa sent people to fight him, and they won over him. Also, this tribulation between the Mudar and the Yemeni people that erupted in Asham, Harun sent someone to calm him down. There was also the area of Mosul. It had its own wall. Rashid ordered to destroy that wall because there was someone inside the city causing some trouble among people. So that wall was a way to get to him. In the year 81, these tribulations continued in the area of Tunis, you know, northwest Africa, until a new state was established called Al-Aghaliba, because the head of them was Ibrahim ibn al-Aghlab. And then this man died, his son followed him. And in the same year, 181, Al-Rashid, he led a military campaign against the Romans, and he opened many lands. And then, of course, the following year, he went to Hajj. And when he used to go to Hajj, he used to spend a lot of money, his own money, giving it to the poor people in Mecca and Al-Madinah. And also, he paid to set free many Muslim prisoners of war until no one was captured, you know, stayed captured. One of the Muslims was captured for 20 years in the hands of these. And they would change his name. And then he, because he stayed among them for a long time, he got some connections. So he had like some power until he managed to escape from them. And another story they talked about is one of the Muslim governors in an area was, his father was captured by these non-believers. So, of course, they thought that now they have the father of the governor, then they, now they can demand whatever they want. So his father sent him, tell his, consider me dead. Consider me dead. And fight those non-believers. If they kill me, I'm a martyr. So his son, listen, he didn't like succumb to, okay, what demands do you want to get my father free? So he attacked them. They had taken a Muslim city. He retrieved it. But his father was, you know, killed because of this attack. But he didn't care. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. Allah knows best. Inshallah, we'll continue talking about the rulership of Harun al-Rashid. لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم